Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This show is brought to you by Sledge & Company Financial, LLC. I'm Taylor Sledge, founder and CEO. At Sledge & Company, we help businesses and families do better with their money. Check us out on the web at sledgecompany.com. That's sledgecompany.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Thursday night to the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Always appreciate you being here. So a bit of a shorter stream tonight, if that's okay with you guys. We're talking college football playoff because with all due respect to the Citadel, respect the troops always, this weekend's game is not particularly exciting. There's really no reason to quote-unquote break it down. We've talked about it before. I think it's as simple as get your starters a little bit of work and get them out to help them stay in routine, play a lot of guys, stay healthy, get out of there and get geared up for Florida. The only real thing to take away from this game is health, because even when backups and third stringers play and they look good, this is not an opponent that gives you a good look in any way, shape or form into the future at all. It's actually funny. We were talking about that on the radio show today, and I've got a take on these FCS games. One, I think that they need to survive because the FCS programs need these games to survive, and they provide 63 scholarships a school. And for a lot of guys that probably couldn't afford the education that they're getting. I mean, a lot of FCS schools, it's really high-quality education and quite expensive, and they get it for free. And so those programs, for the overall health of the football economy, need to survive, and they need these games to survive. And also, they are more accessible for the fan that is lower income. Games are cheaper to go to, and therefore, if you can't afford to go to the LSU game, like most people can't, a weekend in Oxford for LSU is like a second mortgage on a house. It makes those games more accessible. But I do have a stance that every non-conference game that is not a power game, so you protect the rivalries at the end, should be done before the second week of October. That's a rule that I would propose if I were Greg Sankey. Turns out one of our listeners to the radio show is an Uber driver and had our show on, and he had Citadel grads in the Uber in Oxford, and they were laughing because of what we were saying about how this game – I mean, I went into this rant. I was like, God, this game sucks. And, I mean, covering it is hard because it's just impossible at this time of year to – like gear down for a game like this, and apparently they got a kick out of it. And there's some Citadel grads hanging around Oxford already for the weekend. So buy them a beer because again, respect the troops. So besides that, the playoff rankings came out. That's what we're going to talk about. Read some of your comments and then get out of here on this Tuesday night. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff. And wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Now, the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's the website. They're off of Exit 40 in Brookhaven, and they will take care of you. Also, they will give you $1,000 off the top on me, just $1,000 off on me. All you have to do is tell them that I sent you, and again, one of the best car buying experiences in the state, if not the best car buying experience in the state. They will treat you like a person. They will take care of you because that is what they do at Toyota of Brookhaven. All right. So I think the committee now that they have changed philosophy in the past, you've seen it. They haven't stuck with what they did. So this is going to be a week by week kind of take with the college football playoff rankings, but I think they sent a clear message. One, it's very simple. Winning, you're in for Ole Miss, obviously. We knew that going into it. But Ole Miss has a path, an opportunity to play themselves into a bye without having to go to the SEC championship. You might be thinking, wait, how is that? Because you have to win your conference to get a bye. Not anymore. They changed that rule this offseason. That is not the case anymore. So the teams in front of Ole Miss, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, and Georgia. So they're going to need losses in front of them in the Big Ten. So we're looking at Ohio State and Indiana. Ohio State's remaining games are pathetic. It's Purdue, at Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, and then at Michigan, which could be a challenge, though. Indiana, go to Penn State, host Wisconsin, have an off week, go to Purdue. They are heavily favored to go undefeated. In the SEC, in front of Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Obviously, they'll have to play Texas at the end of the year, but first they're at Missouri this weekend and hosting South Carolina before they're hosting Samford in the second to last week of the season. So a couple of opportunities for losses there for A&M. You've got Alabama, who is hosting LSU and Oklahoma before Eastern Illinois and a trip to Auburn for the Iron Bowl. So losses possible there. And, of course, Georgia this weekend, possible loss to Mississippi State. They're only a touchdown favorite. They host Texas and Charlotte before they go to Georgia Tech. Possibility of a loss in front of them there. I do not think a team is going to get punished or knocked out of the bye situation on conference championship weekend. I could be wrong, but I think they set that precedent last year where on conference championship weekend, the loser didn't get punished. SMU did not get punished for losing the ACC championship. I don't think you're going to get punished either if Alabama and Texas A&M make the SEC championship. I think they are both going to go ahead and get the bye if they're in the top four going into it anyway. I could be wrong, but I do think that is the case. So that's obvious that Ole Miss, not only when you're in, they can, with some help, play into a top four seed and get a bye, which would remove a playoff game from Oxford, and I don't love that, but still. But also, when you look at the way they ranked other teams, it is clear that the SEC, at least in the first round of rankings, was given not preferential treatment because it's rooted in fact or metric anyway. The SEC strength of schedule was given precedent for teams with similar rankings compared to the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the ACC. The first three teams ranked with one loss are all from the SEC. You have to get all the way down to number seven to get the Big 12's undefeated team. So three one-loss SEC teams ranked in front of the current undefeated BYU out of the Big 12, obviously ranked ahead of Texas Tech and Oregon, and Virginia as well, all the way down at 14. So the SEC schools, at least in the first round of rankings, were given precedent over the other conferences, or given a higher spot with similar records over the other conferences, and that coincides with strength of schedule. For some reason, everybody keeps saying that Ole Miss has a Charmin soft schedule, especially state fans around here on the radio show. That's not the case. They don't. It is the number 24 schedule in the country. It's just when you look at other SEC teams, A&M is 15, Alabama's 4, Georgia's 9, Texas is 11. But BYU strength of schedule is 47. Indiana's is 38. Ohio State's is 32. Behind Ole Miss, Oregon at 35. Texas Tech at 58. Louisville at 56. Virginia all the way down at 85. Georgia Tech, 84. So if they continue to move this in that direction, then 10-2, if they are consistent with this, Ole Miss could lose one of these next two games and still find their way into the playoff. However, a 10-2 Ole Miss and a 10-2 Texas, I believe Texas would get the preferential treatment because they're at Georgia and they have to play A&M. Now, Texas isn't finishing the season with two losses, but that's possible. Ole Miss would have the head-to-head over Oklahoma. That would help a ton. Also, go ahead and root for Vanderbilt to lose one more time just to make sure that they get out of the way. But this was a really encouraging ranking for Ole Miss. It was, because it's trending towards the ACC and the Big 12 in particular not getting the amount of bids that probably they did a year ago. But also, most importantly, if you just beat Florida and Mississippi State, two teams that you're better than, it doesn't matter what happens around you. So glad you guys are here. We'll read some of your comments, and then we will get out of here on this Thursday night. Really appreciate you, and I really appreciate Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. That's the website. Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. ABSMS.com, again, is the website. Anywhere in Mississippi, if your business needs office technology, they will take care of you at ABSMS.com. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Watching USF tonight, think these guys are going to end up in the G5 representative. That would be apt. Now, the committee kind of painted themselves into a corner with not ranking a single G5 team. That was an interesting move. I think you had a case for it. But yeah, South Florida beating up on UTSA 52-13 in the third quarter. Wow. And their two losses are Miami and at Memphis by three. So, and of course, they have the win over Florida and the win over Boise State. They still have to play at Navy, but also at UAB, who already fired their coach in Rice. So the opportunity for them to run the table is there. You very well could be watching a playoff team tonight. Thought six was the correct spot for Ole Miss. However, don't think splitting those last two games gets them in. I'm of the opinion an Egg Bowl loss could eliminate them. It could, but they, in the first rankings, like I said, appeared to have given the window of opportunity to get in with 10. Always like the USA-themed Ole Miss does. They have natural colors for it, too. I really like that helmet logo. I really do. Does the Florida game have a chance to break fan attendance records? That's a good question because I don't know. So they reduced the amount of student tickets, right? They capped them. And so can they have as big of a student crowd as they did a year ago? I don't know. But I assume it's going to be absolutely insane next week for a lot of reasons. That is going to be a bizarre football game. Because how often has a coach within a conference played a school at home that is very publicly trying to hire him? I mean, Florida's making no bones about it. I mean, they are trying to hire Lane Kiffin. There are rumors about some kind of a meeting either this week or next week. Next week would be insane, by the way. If Lane Kiffin has a true interview or meeting with Florida next week, if that rumor is true, then what a joke that would be. I don't know if it is or not, but it's a bizarre situation. And I think the fan base is pretty charged up to kind of make a statement with that one. Basketball game tomorrow will be on the SEC Network Plus. So it'll be streaming only, but as I understand it, according to the release, it is available there. The committee showed Notre Dame favoritism is here to stay. Yes, Notre Dame ranked 10th. By the way, 8 spots ahead of Miami, and Miami beat them, and they have the same record. Notre Dame's remaining schedule, I guess I should have had that up. Notre Dame's remaining schedule, again, they already have 2 losses, and they were the first 2 games of the season, Miami and Texas A&M. Remaining, they have Navy at Pitt, not easy, not easy. Syracuse and Stanford. That is what they've got left, and a 10-2 Notre Dame is going to get in over a lot of people, unfortunately. And then that's just, that's just how it works. And I don't think it's right, but that is how it is. You talk about the injury situation and rumors going around the Florida team. Feel like that's very relevant to next week, especially with their game at Kentucky on Saturday. Yeah, the injury report here. Let me pull it up because I lost count of the. Remember, it's not an injury report. It is the student athlete availability report. Those are 2 different things. I keep telling people that. But Florida going into the Kentucky game, which, by the way, this game being played should be a violation of the 8th Amendment. If you guys aren't political scholars, the 8th Amendment is the cruel and unusual punishment one. That's the 8th Amendment of the United States Constitution. And Florida, this Florida team and this Kentucky team being broadcast on television should be a violation of the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. This game is cruel and unusual punishment. But out for Florida, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 players listed as out for Florida in this game. Look, maybe they play Saturday in a way that doesn't look like this, but their last shot was last week in Jacksonville against Georgia. That was their last shot. Lord knows, if they go to Lexington and lose, then this trip to Oxford is going to be pretty brutal for them. I mean, the Q word is out there. They've quit. At least that's what that says, that they have quit. And I mean, that's what you want next week, is a team that just kind of an uninspired football team that limps in next week for sure. Almost would have to go 11-1 and have two of the SEC teams in front lose. Ohio State and Indiana aren't losing. Here's the thing, though. Are we sure Ohio State's not losing? Are we sure? Because that Ohio State team last year, at home, by the way, was significantly better, and I mean significantly better, than Michigan in every way, shape, or form, except for on the football field. Like when they played, it just something weird happens with Ryan Day coach teams in the Michigan game. And now they got to go to the Big House, and that they are – I don't know, man. And maybe they exercise demons out there. I'm not going to totally just count that and pencil that in as a W. Just no way. No way. I think it would take a lot to even get into the championship game, but I'll take the playoffs in a bye. Yeah, I mean, you guys know this. I don't care about the SEC championship. It doesn't matter to me if they make it or not. I would rather host a playoff game than go to the SEC championship. So if they don't get in, I know that there's that cloud over the program having not gone to Atlanta, but in the expanded playoff era, who cares? I don't care. What I would like to see is what the committee currently put out there, which was Virginia in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. That would be, I mean, a truly unique scene. You've never seen it before, and this is only year two of it anyway, but that to me is so much more meaningful than even going to the SEC championship now, because I kind of look at it like baseball. Not exactly apples to oranges, but those are both round fruits, right? So they're kind of comparable. Does winning in Hoover really matter in baseball? I mean, it's nice. You put the banner on your outfield wall and you get a trophy and people like to make the trip over. But what matters more? Winning in Hoover or getting to Omaha? What matters more? I kind of look at this the same way now. What matters more? Going to Atlanta or advancing in the playoff? I think it's an obvious, easy answer. It's advancing through the playoff. Appreciate the random compliment on this Thursday night. We all could use those from time to time. Thank you, man. Really, just Alabama and A&M are the main losable teams, for sure. And yes, Georgia, of course, has the tiebreaker with the win. Thought Vandy was a loser in these rankings, but did like most of what they did overall. Yeah, Vanderbilt all the way down to 16, even though their resume is pretty impressive. I mean, that's kind of a brand thing, right? But, I mean, their losses are a close loss-ish at Alabama and a 3-point loss at Texas. They've got wins at South Carolina, LSU, and Missouri. And they're down to 16. But here, let me find their. And they have a strength of schedule of 14. I mean, that's helmet bias, to be honest with you. What puts Utah in front of Vanderbilt right now? What puts Virginia and Louisville in front of them right now? So yeah, that's a good call. It's a really good call. Wonder how dicey things would get with 10-2 Big Ten and Big 12 teams like Iowa, Washington, and Utah. Yeah, you're kind of rooting for losses there. Kind of rooting for losses there. I don't know what Iowa has left. Let me see if I can find it here. Sorry, I just sang for a second. Long day. All right. Iowa has Oregon at USC, Michigan State, and at Nebraska. Okay. Root for Iowa to beat Oregon this weekend and get the Ducks out of the way. That's what you want. We'll have to do a rooting guide starting next week for sure. Very plausible scenario that Duke and SMU make the ACC title game. Each of them have three losses, but one conference loss in a workable path. Well, yeah, and Virginia's is crap too, because they lost to NC State, who's in their conference, but it didn't count as a conference loss. Yeah, and a loss in the Egg Bowl would be devastating on at least two fronts. Yeah. Hoping Texas beats A&M and Alabama slip up. I don't know if A&M's losing. They are such a wagon right now. Would rather a home playoff with the bye. I was going to upset Oregon, bookmark it. Yeah, you get to wave to the kids and then get that upset. Really went from a top four bye group of five team to an unranked G5 in the span of 1 year. And that's the problem. What this is going to turn into, and part of me wonders if it's intentional or not, but what this is going to turn into is a push for the elimination of the group of five's automatic bid into the playoff. That's what this is going to turn into. That's the push that's coming. And it's unfortunate because I actually do like their inclusion, but I think it should come organically. Yeah, I saw that Antonio Brown news, and I'm not surprised. Did Tulane lose last week? They got smoked by UTSA on the road. Yeah. Would be funny if South Florida wins a conference championship, then gets the auto bid to play Ole Miss and Oxford in the first round. Hey, if you're the five seed, you're hosting that 12. So, yeah, I saw the student code thing. It's a good idea. They do that at other schools. Don't let people try to convince you that that's not a thing elsewhere. There's a reason that Auburn's student section is so good, and it's because they're incentivized to be for the bad games. I promise. If Ole Miss stays at 6, they get an easy matchup for the first round. I don't think anything would be easy, but if it stayed as is and you got Virginia, you'd be a 3-score favorite in the game. Yeah, I would be stunned too, Ed. I don't know if I'd buy the in-person meeting thing during the week of the game. I don't buy that. That doesn't track to me at all. Just keep seeing Florida fans and their bias to sell media keep spewing BS about Kiffin, and also that they say he can be in at the start of December. It's ridiculous. I mean, here's – if that were to happen, let's just play that out, that he goes – he takes their job and then leaves his playoff team. Do you know what the reaction would be to that decision? I don't think it's recoverable, but I mean, it would be brutal. And for somebody that is so image obsessed, there's a reason that E60 happened. I cannot fathom, on top of that, just the competitor willing to do that. And then, yeah, of course, you see he can take the Florida job and then just still coach at Ole Miss. Like anybody at Ole Miss would allow that. The team wouldn't allow that. Wouldn't. No, they would. Pete would be interim and Weiss would call plays and they would just go with what they had. You can't allow that. And everybody will find out. That's not something you can keep under wraps. So it just, none of that makes sense to me. But it is college football, right? Yeah, I mean, putting a staff together while coaching, that makes no sense. It really does. Does Ole Miss really want the DJ Lagway sweepstakes if he enters the portal? 100%. I think that, I mean, look, Trinidad got great coaching at Ferris State, and he does a lot of things well. They took a D2 quarterback and made him in the top 7 in Heisman odds. I think you can take a talent like DJ Lagway and turn him into somebody that protects the football a little bit better than he does and stops turning it over and things like that. I really do. I believe that in this system, he would work and he would work well. My concern about Lagway is not the ability to elevate his play. It's healthy, or can he stay healthy, I should say. Yeah, I saw that. Josh Pate said, keep an eye on Lincoln Riley. There's a lot of people starting to connect the dots between Lincoln Riley and Florida. I don't quite understand that, personally. You just have people that are obsessed with splash. That's what it is. The substance is not there for me. I mean, look, he would coach good quarterbacks because that's what he does, but his teams are soft, especially lately at USC. What makes you think that suddenly the hubris in what they think their job is really why? What makes you think that Lincoln Riley, who has had soft teams at Oklahoma with good quarterback play, but still soft teams there, soft teams at USC, is going to come to Florida and suddenly they're going to be able to move through the gauntlet of the SEC? Why do you think he can do that? Oh, well, because we're Florida. That's not an answer. I cannot stand that kind of thing, like having a feeling without backing it up at all when it comes to sports conversation. Well, of course you would do better. We're Florida. Well, what does that mean? It didn't work for Dan Mullen. Well, of course Mullen's going to be better at Florida than Mississippi State. We're Florida. They're Mississippi State. And he was the same. So Lincoln Riley would go to Florida, and in 4 years, everybody would hate him because he would be exactly what he is now. I don't get it. And I do agree with that. If they find out that, and again, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I don't think it is. I would still bet against it, but for whatever that's worth. But yes, if that does happen, if there was an agreement and they find out, yes, you dismiss it immediately. You do not let him spend another second in your facility if you have found out that he has agreed to become Florida's coach. The second you find out, you do not let him back in the building. You can't, because now he's immediately direct competition, and there's players on your roster with eligibility that presumably he would try to take with him. You can't let that happen, which is why none of it makes any sense. Thoughts on LSU aligning itself and media running with the everything's coming together routine? Yeah, I've read really nice reporting in the at NOLA.com today about how there's some real momentum behind this kind of low ball offer, this smaller contract with fewer years with big incentives. Good luck, but you're not going to get prime candidate trying to do something like that. Thoughts on Wisconsin? Yeah, they're basically punting. I mean, you've got Pat Fitzgerald out there, which, by the way, people are connecting him to Arkansas. Interesting. I think Dan Mullen would do great there. I mean, you've just given up to just run it back with him. The people who say Ole Miss should just keep winning to keep Kiffin from going to Florida seem to forget that the guy in charge of said winning is the guy who may want to go to Florida. Yeah, but to just play this out for a second. What happens if he really likes where he is and what he says about it is truthful? What if he's torn? That's possible, right? So you can still work really hard where your feet are and also wonder about an opportunity elsewhere. I mean, this is not a relationship. It's a job. So he's fine to have wandering eyes when it comes to this. So if they keep winning and he's already happy where he is, the more they win, the easier it is to just stop looking somewhere else, you know? Because I believe he better be happy where he is, because literally everything he asked for, they say yes to, without question. So he's got whatever he needs. I don't know. I think the players know he's not leaving. Haven't really seen any drop off. The play has been good so far. Best chance of SEC championship game is Missouri beating A&M and losing to Oklahoma. Texas beating Georgia and losing to A&M, yeah. A fan shouted at Kiffin at the Oxford High game to please stay, and his response was, I didn't know I was on the hot seat. See, y'all might think I'm sticking the mud for this, but I don't think people should be yelling stuff at him when he's there to watch his son play. like let, it's just my opinion, you're free to disagree, let him detach from something for a little while and just enjoy watching his son play quarterback for the local high school team, you know? Would I rather have Lagway or Sellers? Lagway, easily. Sellers isn't accurate at all. Yeah, and USC is going to win a good bit, so people will talk themselves into Lincoln Riley being something. I'm just not there. I did see, to your comment, the Trinidad talking about getting another year of eligibility. I'm telling you, I think that you could sue for it. I really do. I really think that you could sue for it, and it's not a hard no. I don't know why people keep saying that it's a hard no. The eligibility rules have been challenged time and time again, and you keep winning. He has a year where he only played two games. I'm just saying you can find the right judge in the right place because Diego Pavia did it at Vanderbilt, and he got himself an extra year. I wouldn't just completely dismiss the possibility of that happening. And I'll leave you guys with this, asking thoughts on SEC notable national games. I think Mississippi State has a real shot. But they're going to get out-athleted, especially with Albert Reese possibly being out for the season for State. That's a big blow for them. So wouldn't be surprised if it's close early and then Georgia just pulls away late and out-athletes them. A&M, Missouri, would love to know what the quarterback position looks like for Missouri. I think athletically they can match up really well and win this game. The problem is, can their third-string quarterback, because of injury, have an impact? Auburn-Vanderbilt, it's a shame that we don't get to see Hugh Freeze lose to Pavia for the fourth consecutive year. Really disappointed in that. And I think LSU is going to put an absolute beatdown on LSU on Saturday. But anyway, things have stayed quiet. I said I'd leave you on that one. I'll leave you on this. Things have stayed quiet on the Austin Simmons front, but he continues to be a great teammate on the sidelines. Really like to see him be the quarterback next year and stay healthy. Hope he can play a lot Saturday. Yeah, I am curious to see where that goes. I mean, I told you guys before, I'd bet on Ole Miss's quarterback next year being somebody that's on a different roster at the moment. But from Simmons's perspective, if they do really like him and they don't want to go pursue a big dollar quarterback in the portal, you probably should stay. I mean, you're in a really good spot where you are. I don't know if there's a better system for you out there. He just got Wally pipped by this kid from D2 Ferris State and he got hurt. The Trinidad thing wouldn't be happening, but if not for injury. So anyway, all right, guys, I told you I'd cut it off a little early tonight, so I'm going to hold true to that. And I will see you. We'll just go Sunday night. I really don't think it's worth our time to do immediate post-game reaction to the Citadel game. So we're going to go ahead and just skip the post-game Saturday, and we'll just do Sunday night as usual and gear up for the Florida game. So appreciate you guys. I will see you on Sunday night to recap the weekend and then get ready for what will be a pretty insane environment with Florida. See you then.
Robbie Stewart with East Macomb Body Shop, reminding you that it's your choice who repairs your vehicle, not your insurance company. Whether it's East Macomb Body Shop or someone else, choose wisely. Call East Macomb Body Shop at 601-684-4651, 501 Pearl River Avenue, Macomb.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.